So let's talk about experiencing wildlife unexpectedly, or yielding to wildlife unexpectedly, yes. I guess would be...
Like a wildlife crossing on a road.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because we've
had that here.
We had that...
In Saguaro.
On a trail, too, many a time, too.
Oh, yeah, plenty of times.
Yeah.
Plenty of times.
Yeah.
But we particularly had it here. We've had that with a rattlesnake here.
We did.
Also a Gila monster.
We
that
did.
That was on a trail, not on a road.
Also mule deer on mm-hmm. a trail here. But we've had a lot of experiences where we've accidentally stumbled upon wildlife, or we've had to yield or turn around because of wildlife.
Yes.
Like,
well, I mean, there was definitely, like, in Yellowstone, there was certainly wildlife we had to deal with when it came to buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty of that. And also elk.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were on the trail in Great Smokies, there was the black racer snakes.
Right. We also were on a trail in Smokies where we weren't yielding, but we were admonishing people who were following a family of black bears down the trail.
Who were just trying to have their morning walk, and these people wanted to get real close to them, and we were like, y'all better back up.
Yeah.
That is not okay.
We've also had some bad bear experiences where there were bears climbing trees that freaked us the hell out.
And wanted to make sure we were not the danger that
right.
they were thinking,
mm-hmm.
that they were sensing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And moose. We've stumbled upon moose, too.
We've stumbled upon a lot.
Mm-hmm. We have.
And no different here in Saguaro National Park, because
no.
there was more wildlife to stumble across.
Yeah.
And more wildlife that crossed the road.
Right. And how does that make you feel when we have a stumbling experience?
Well, depends. I mean, if I'm in the car, I'm feeling all right.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not, then I have to immediately problem solve to be like, do I need to run? Do I need to not run? If it's a bear, I should not run, because then I yeah. turn into like a game I'm playing with
right.
the bear.
I think you automatically go into Britney Spears. Sometimes I run.
Yeah, that's it. I thought you were going to say that.
Sometimes I hide.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'm scared of you.
Exactly. But all I really want is to hold a rattlesnake real tight and treat it right and be with it day and night. Baby, all I need is a rattlesnake and time. That's right.
I'm looking for adventure. I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky. Don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real. You can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Saguaro National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Tone Odum, Odumjuwet, and Hohokam people.
All right, so if you joined us for our last episode in Saguaro, we had just finished the Wasson Peak hike. We had achieved this by starting on King Canyon Trail and making our way onto the Hugh Norris Trail for a bit before actually summiting Wasson Peak.
And then after we summited, we came back down the Hugh Norris Trail to the Sendero Esperanza Trail, and eventually through the King Canyon Wash Trail. And all of this hiking on this day was in the western part of Saguaro National Park.
Because Saguaro is split into two parts, mostly bisected by the city of Tucson.
Correct.
So this first day, which this episode does include some of the first day and some of the second day, but this first part is happening also in West Saguaro. So West Saguaro has a pretty extensive network of trails that are kind of just a bunch of loops that share borders. So theoretically, you could put a lot of these trails together to create a giant loop and do some of the inner parts of these loops if you really wanted to, that would be a very, very, very long and tiring day. And it would be something you're doing when the temperatures are like in the 60s or 70s max, because
oh, that's when you would have to do it in order to survive.
Melted people otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what had we been up to prior to hiking Wasson Peak on this day? This was at the end of the week of a trip we did 2 years ago to Saguaro National Park, where we started at Guadalupe Mountains National Park, also went to Carlsbad Cavern National Park, followed by White Sands National Park, then over to Saguaro. This was our first day, and we began by hiking Wasson Peak, which it is at 4,687 elevation, and we had to make our way up. It was 1 to 2,000 feet of elevation gain.
Mm-hmm.
We were, at this point, pretty tired, and it was pretty hot, mm-hmm. for sure.
And we had basically been doing a decent amount of hiking and spelunking in this week. And towards the end of the week, White Sands and now Saguaro, we were starting to actually encounter heat, because that was not the case in Guadalupe Mountains or Carlsbad. So we're kind of like, we're feeling a little toasted by the length of the trip. And I think we're both sort of a little delirious at this point, in like a way that we can still manage, but we're feeling it. And we sort of felt, after hiking Wasson Peak, kind of this was our front load hike, it's sort of like the most recognized hike in the park, that we would take a moment to break and regroup, which meant a trip to the visitor center.
That's right. So the Red Hill Visitor Center on Kinney Road is ultimately not that far from the trailhead of King Canyon. So that is where we headed. We got our bags off. We made our way toward the visitor center. And this was a pretty large visitor center, and it had multiple ways to engage with it. A lot of people would go there just to fill up with water. A lot of people would go there just to take a look inside the visitor center. There's also great views of a bunch of Saguaro from the visitor center. But we took the time to get water, use the restroom, have a moment to get patches, and just take in sort of the interpretive stuff inside of the visitor center.
And it has a lot of great information on cacti and desert life, rain in the desert, and all manner of things related to Saguaro cacti and their preservation in the park. It is a well worth it visitor center. There's a lot here that's a great home base to just kind of learn a little bit more, which is why we love a visitor center. There's always that moment to have that education piece here in a park.
And we really took the time here while we were here because it was air conditioned, we were exhausted, we were hot. So we took our time in our learning, mm-hmm. so that we could enjoy this moment.
I do think if we had more time and stamina at this point in the trip, we probably would have made our way out on some of the larger loops within the park. But with the limited time and feeling a little beat from the heat, we stopped at the ranger desk and kind of asked for advice on what we should continue to do in West Saguaro, since this was going to sort of be the only day that we were here. And then also what would be good to do in the eastern section of the park, because we needed to plan our visit for the following day, and knew based off of an early arrival time there that we weren't going to be able to go to the visitor center there and get any information. So always great to plan like that if you can, even if you're arriving in a park late. I feel like we did that when we got to Tetons. We like went right to the visitor center. It was late. We got the information we needed. We were able to do a small hike, but it prepared us for the kind of rest of our travels while we were in Tetons.
Like, yeah.
Try to hit the visitor center if that's like the only thing you're doing and getting into a park late, because it prepares you enough for
what you're going to do later.
What you're going to do later, yeah.
Yeah. So the ranger that we talked to, because we always talk to a ranger, suggested absolutely driving the Bajada Loop Road to see more of the park. And he did share with us that the road was unpaved, so that we would need to be mindful, especially because we were not in a four-wheel drive vehicle. But he did say it was fine to drive mm-hmm. this because
yep.
it's a sand road.
Yeah.
It's not like a mud road or anything like mm-mm, that.
No.
And since we were on the tired side, we were like, yeah, you know what? Let's do the loop road and let's do some little things that are on this loop road.
Yeah.
Like the Desert Discovery Trail, which was a tiny little short paved interpretive trail. This is our moment where we love these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like The reality is that a lot of people think and ask us like, oh, well, y'all only do big, giant. No, we do tiny little interpretive things. Mm-hmm. We're nerds for that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of good information, like this,
too,
because it's hot. We've already hiked Wasson Peak. Oh, you're telling me there's like a 0.1 mile loop that's like literally just like a circle around with signs where we can learn? Of course we're going to be
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially after like we hiked for like 4 or 5 hours.
Yes.
Just to do Wasson Peak.
That's right.
And that was like, we took the break, obviously, at the top, but it was a pretty big chunk of the day. And obviously in the desert, hiking earlier, especially if you've listened to our episodes from earlier in the season on doing anything in Death Valley, you know that like we were trying to get out early and be done early. So this is sort of the same kind of timeline here. It was a little afternoon. It was approaching 1 o'clock. So it was like heat of the day.
Heat of the day. Yeah. So we finished up in the visitor center and made our way to the car. We knew that the Bajada Loop Drive was a little further up the road, which is Kinney Road, and we have to turn onto Hohokam Road, which is the one-way section of the road that will
make up the Bajada Loop.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So we head up, and this road immediately kind of feels like a backlot tour mm-hmm. of Saguaro National Park, which, to compare it to, if you have people in the car you need to compare it to and you've been to like had a backlot tour situation at mm-hmm. a theme park, this is kind of what it feels like.
It also felt like the Artist Palette Drive. Like,
yeah.
Again, also something to never negate. If there's a scenic drive within a park, do the scenic drives.
100%.
Because they are sort of curated for you to see parts of the park that you would otherwise not. And it also gives like kind of a good primer. Like, we've done scenic drives in New River Gorge, in Death Valley. There are a bunch of parks where scenic drives are like a part of the culture of the park. So definitely take the time to do this. Because again, like Dusty said, it's not a muddy road. You could do it in a non-4-wheel drive vehicle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was the one that was driving mm-hmm. at this time. So many giant saguaros everywhere. Big, big, huge, huge. Bigger than the ones we saw on the trail.
Yeah.
Happening here. And honestly, totally fine. Easy drive. Didn't mind it. Yes, it was sandy, but it was bright and it was hot and it was nice to be in the AC yeah. in the car.
Yeah.
So eventually we hit a two-way section of the road, which is Golden Gate Road. And we do see a little bit of additional traffic here, but for the most part, it's still pretty light on the scenic drive.
So we hook a left onto Golden Gate because this takes us back to Kinney Road. But if you were to go to the right, this sort of will lead you to some of the other trailheads that are like further out on the giant loop that is the west side of the park that you could then jump into some of the smaller loops that are contained within it.
So as we're taking this drive back around, this was the moment where we saw the rattlesnake crossing the road,
mm-hmm.
which makes a grand total of 2 rattlesnakes we've seen on this day.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you were probably feeling a little bit more comfortable being in the car.
Yes.
And not being like, what was that noise? And okay. me pushing you down the trail. Don't look back.
For the record, while I do find snakes to be terrifying, I am still curious about them. Mm-hmm. I still want to know about them and mm-hmm. learn about them. And I was like, oh my God, it is a rattlesnake. I'm so glad we get to see it from the car and that we don't have to bother it. Mm-hmm. And like, it was moving across the road and it was not moving quickly.
No.
No, it was just like doing its little slither across the road. Mm-hmm. And we do have a video of it. We figured out, we mentioned in the last episode what kind of snake it was.
Was it a diamondback?
It was a diamondback rattlesnake. It had the black and white stripes in the tail.
Yeah. As we continue to drive down the road, we, again, are just enjoying the fact that this is a great way to have some time within the park, but to have it be very curated and subdued, because we were definitely at the point where we knew the end of our day was coming and we were going to just head back and take a beat. So eventually we get to the intersection of where Golden Gate and Kinney Road are, and we take a left and we head toward the Desert Discovery Nature Trail. And with that, let's take our first break.
We know that there are so many ways to get outside and explore the national parks. And if you are thinking about finally renting an RV this summer to have an adventure of a lifetime, then look no further than Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States, making it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one.
They have thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, available right in your neighborhood, and you can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It's so easy. It's only three simple steps to get started on your adventure.
First, search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. Then, book with confidence. Insurance, support, and protection are all included. And finally, hit the road or arrive and relax, whether you're driving, towing, or getting it delivered.
As people who love exploring and love getting into the national parks, we don't own an RV or camper, but sometimes we want that. And that's why Outdoorsy is the perfect solution.
Right now, our listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code GAZE at outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com and use our code GAZE, GAZE, at checkout to remove service fees. And that is outdoorsy.com. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, we're playing a new game called Cover Songs. We just came up with this game recently. Mm-hmm. We love this game. It's similar to Commission an Album, but how does the game work?
So Cover Songs is a game where we can either give each other an artist and we ask what song would you like them to cover, or give somebody a song and say which artist should cover the song. And then we have a moment to discuss. So I'm going to give you the song Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship. Who do you want to cover that?
Okay.
Because I feel like that's a song that's in need of being covered.
Yes.
It's such a good song.
And it's two voices. Mm-hmm. So we need the two voices.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Brandon Urie.
Okay.
From Panic at the Disco.
Uh-huh.
I want him to sing that with, I'm just going to say it because I've just been listening to her a lot lately. I want him to do that with Chaka Khan.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Great.
Brandon Urie and Chaka Khan.
What a duo.
Covering Starship.
Great.
That's what I would like.
Great.
And did you have an answer for that as well?
Yeah, I think that it would be fun to hear. I think I would love to hear, because they're friends, a Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran version of the song.
Oh, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. That would be a lot of fun. Okay. I'm going to give you an artist, okay. And I'm going to give you Adele.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I feel like because they knew each other, I would love to hear her do something off of Back to Black.
Yeah.
By Amy Winehouse. Maybe Me and Mr. Jones.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
I just feel like that would be like a nice little nod to Amy. Mm-hmm. And God, so much.
Oh, what an incredible album.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible album.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm going to choose Son of a Preacher Man.
Oh, my God.
I would kill to hear Adele.
You know that
Adele
it would be monumental.
Monumental cover of Son of a Preacher Man. Thank you, Dusty Springfield, who gave us that originally.
And my name.
That's right. Yeah. I remember being in my early 20s and meeting people in the theater business. And I would tell them my name and they'd be like, oh, like Springfield. And I would go, oh, so you're gay too. All the time. All the time.
And that's cover songs. All right. So after our drive around the Bajada Loop, we turned back onto Kinney Road and made our way down a short distance to the Desert Discovery Nature Trail. This is a very, very short trail, but it's definitely not to be discounted because it is an interpretive trail.
And it's a really well-done interpretive trail. We do love a good interpretive trail, especially outside of a visitor center. Also, interpretive trails are usually accessible trails and allow for ease if you have a stroller or if you are in a wheelchair or have a walker. These are definitely trails that are more accessible to you. Typically, this is certainly one that is.
And even if you love a good long grunt on a trail like we do, take the time to do the tiny trails too, because they definitely have a lot to offer. This was also a trail that you could have a pet on as long as it was leashed. So it's interesting. We have this conversation a lot about pets in national parks, and some parks allow them as long as they're leashed. Like, for example, Shenandoah is one of those parks, but not all parks allow pets. So this is one that you can happen to have pets in, just like White Sands was, because we had a dog parade there.
That's right. So this half mile trail was one that we knew we were not going to need boots for. So we changed into sneakers because it was short and flat. It was also a trail where we were not going to need any of our packs either. So we just took ourselves. That was it. We didn't bring water or anything. We just took ourselves.
No, having been in the car for a little while on the drive too, we had like snacked because we were, you know, at the point where that was usually what we would do post-hike anyway, and then just had a bunch of water there. So after getting out of the car, we mosey onto the pathways of the Desert Discovery Trail. And while there are some giant saguaro here as well, some even bigger than what we saw on the Wasson Peak hike or even on the Bajada Loop Drive, there's also an abundance of other desert life.
So one of the first interpretive signs we come across is about the chain of life and how the chain of life starts with the sun and nourishes the plants of the desert, which in turn nourish the other animals, which in turn nourish other animals. So these signs are engraved in metal, which is probably best so that they don't fade, like if they were printed, so you can still read them even if it's hot, no matter what.
Yeah, sort of like the one trail in White Sands where all those printed signs were like faded. You've seen it in parks before. So this is just engraved metal. It actually worked really well.
So the walk here is really peaceful. And there is, I think, one other family that was there when we were there. But the nice thing about this walk, too, is that there are various spots to sit, which is great. You don't usually get that on any trail ever, but here you can. So you can take a break and enjoy the surroundings here.
Another sign we see on the trail talks about the variety of reptiles that can be found within the park, including Gila monsters, desert tortoise, snakes, and zebra-tailed lizards. These reptiles feed on insects and smaller rodents. They also feed on bird eggs and a variety of other small species within the park.
So as we continue to walk, we definitely can tell that we probably aren't going to make another trail today. Like, this is going to be the end of our day, especially because we've been hiking since 7 a.m. and it was already close to 2 o'clock. So we were also walking during the, like, it was a very exposed path. Most of saguaro is exposed, and it was very hot at this point in time, so we were like, we're gonna do this tiny little loop and I think we're gonna call it.
We learn a little bit more about desert insects of saguaro national park on another sign, which talks about ants, scorpions, spiders, and something called a tarantula hawk. So not being desert people or familiar with desert fauna, this was interesting to us. Apparently, tarantula hawks, which we did see while we were here, are large forms of wasps that sting spiders. They bring them back to their nest. They lay an egg on the spider, which then becomes the food for the wasp larva. We
the circle of life, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's like they should just call it like mosquitoes revenge.
Yeah,
is what they should
yeah,
call it.
Yeah,
because that's
yeah.
what spiders do to mosquitoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the path continues to wind through the areas of paddle cactus and saguaro cacti and other desert plants like creosote trees. We see other signs that talk about desert birds like quails and roadrunners, and we also see signs about the food chain and how predatory animals feed on smaller prey.
Other signs talk about the ecology of the desert and how the barren landscape is actually a very fertile desert space despite its looks, and how creosote trees have a big impact on the landscape and the animals found within.
This would be a great trail to do first thing.
Like yeah.
First
oh,
thing
yeah.
in Saguaro.
Yeah.
Like right after the visitor center, go do this.
Because it
like,
also helps you to, I think, identify things in the desert that you might otherwise not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Along with other signs about water and how animals access it in the desert landscape, one of the capstone signs of this nature walk talks about the saguaro cactus and how important it is to the desert and how very much so it is like a pillar to the plants and animals within this landscape. Go listen to our trail mix on the many cacti of Saguaro National Park to find out all about exactly how saguaro cacti interact with this landscape and why they're so special to this particular area.
And as we find ourselves winding towards the finish of this half mile loop, we can see the car. We begin to make our way back. And this was definitely a nice little kind of capstone for our day in that we had a really nice long trail, this drive that gave us a lot of scenery in the park, and then a learning experience with both the visitor center and this nature trail. And it really does piece together a lot of what we got to experience here in Saguaro on our first day.
And with that, let's take our second break. It's time for Drag Corner. If you haven't heard any of our episodes before, once an episode, we create a drag persona and bring them to life because we love writing drag names. So we just riff on the name and bring this drag performance to life. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Porsche Authority.
Porsche Authority. Mm-hmm. First name Porsche, last name
Authority.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who is Porsche Authority? She's got to be some kind of authority queen.
Oh, yeah. I think she's like a uniform queen. Like, I think her act is rooted in different sort of high-ranking uniform.
I see.
Like, haute couture uniform. Uniform hot couture.
You mean haute couture.
Haute couture.
Hot couture. Meaning like I brought couture to the desert and now it's hot couture. Haute couture.
Just like Chaperone's song, Haute to Go.
Haute to Go. Haute to Go. Mm-hmm. So, okay, yes. I think that Porsche Authority has different songs that she does in different uniform looks.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Or at least it's like nods to that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
It doesn't have to be full regalia, but it could be like
a
nod.
I think it's haute couture high fashion referencing some kind of uniform.
Sure.
Like we've got crossing guard.
Mm-hmm.
We've got police officer, firefighter, mm-hmm. nurse, mm-hmm. doctor, mm-hmm. security guard.
You're just naming Halloween costumes now.
That's it. But we've got all of those.
But you have to throw the word sexy in front of them.
Well, I don't. Yeah. I mean, right. I mean, one could.
One could.
And
right.
They do all the time in Halloween.
They sure do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sexy nun.
Sexy. I mean, it is a thing. It's true.
But they have to be not just uniforms. They have to be authority figure uniforms. Mm-hmm.
And so sexy mother superior.
Right, exactly. Bus driver.
Our Catholic mothers are like rolling around.
I know.
Not in their graves, but somewhere.
So, okay.
Like bus driver. I heard it.
Bus driver. I did say it. Bus
stand behind
uniform.
Stand behind the yellow line.
Yeah. Or train conductor.
Yeah.
That's another one.
It's
right.
True.
She could do that and
sing Locomotion.
That or it could be a mashup of that and Come On Ride the Train.
Mm-hmm. From the Venga Boys.
Is it the Venga Boys?
Pretty
Come
sure.
On Ride the Train.
I'm pretty sure it's Venga Boys. It?
I don't know who sang
no,
that.
No, maybe it's not. I'm just thinking about the Venga Buses coming.
Yeah.
The Six Flags theme song.
That is not what I was suggesting.
I know it isn't.
And I'm offended.
I know it's not. But now I'm like, who sings Come On Ride the Train? Because I don't, off the top of my head, know that.
It's Quad City DJs.
Quad City DJs. Look at that.
Yeah. Quad City DJs. I think that's definitely going to be something that Porsche Authority does.
I think so. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it also makes sense considering, not that Port Authority is, which the name is based on, is a train depot, but it is a bus depot.
It is a bus depot. It is a transportation hub.
It's a transportation hub. So I think it also could be very transportation authority figure heavy.
It's true.
And I do feel like Come On Ride the Train feels like a very apt song for her.
Also, she'll do Midnight Train to Georgia. Mm-hmm. She'll do that one.
That's her 11 o'clock number.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's because she's leaving the stage on that midnight train
That's
to Georgia.
Right. I do feel like her merch is train fare because it's so expensive.
It is.
it's a giveaway. It's a giveaway.
She's giving you tickets. Mm-hmm. She's giving you Metro cards or train tickets or something.
That, you know, like there are a lot of artists that use, now that the Metro cards have been discontinued, there were a lot of artists that were making things using those Metro cards.
They were.
And that's what it is. It's Metro Card art is her merch.
Metro Card art. I love that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Porsche Authority. All right. So we had quite a full first day in Saguaro National Park on the west side. And this is sort of like our small trails and drives episode, hence the title. And the last little bit of this episode is actually about the east side of Saguaro, because our following episode from this will be a trail kind of journey that we took on the second day in Saguaro that mostly was on the east side. But this is going to be about, this last section is going to be about the Cactus Forest Drive and the Desert Ecology Trail, which are both in the east side of Saguaro National Park.
So we start very early and we head over to the east side of Saguaro. It was a bit of an overcast day this day, and so it was a little cooler, which was kind of nice because we had gotten our fill of the sun yesterday for sure. We were glad we got to go to the visitor center in the west side of Saguaro because we needed to get to the east side pretty early, which was going to require us to drive fully across Tucson in order to do that. And we wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to the visitor center today. And so, hence why it's always good to plan ahead when it comes to that.
This section of the park has an extensive section of trails as well, but many of them are to the north of the park road, which is the Cactus Forest Drive. There's one trail that runs through the middle of this with some smaller trails within and around it. So we decide that we are sort of kind of at our fill for the week and that we're going to make this drive and these trails that are kind of around this loop sort of the mainstay of our day. And this part of the park feels a little bit more kind of manicured or preserved than the western side. The western side just felt more wild to me. And maybe it was this very contained loop road that made it feel more kind of like it was preserved in a different sort of way. But it also could have been because there was just an abundance of saguaro here.
Like, oh, for sure.
We thought we had seen everything we could on the west side, and that's not true at all, because coming to this side of the park is incredible, especially because of Cactus Forest Drive. The roadway, for the most part, is a one-way road, which runs counterclockwise when you enter onto the loop.
So there were two small trails that we noted that we wanted to do as we drove around the loop, and one trail that was through the center. So we had to plan out where and when we were going to stop and make our way fully around and do everything we wanted to do without having to repeat the loop. But as we were driving around and figuring this out, there was just, again, so much cacti everywhere, which is why it's so worth it to go to the east side, everybody. Don't miss it, because that is where you get more backcountry trails. And we were doing the smaller trails available here on this day on the east side. But if you want like longer backcountry trails, the east side is where it's at. So we drive a little onto the loop road, and at the top of the loop, we stop at the Desert Ecology Trail. This is an even shorter trail than the Desert Discovery Nature Trail because it is 0.3 miles. So it was a short, super short, completely accessible with great signage in English and Spanish about the way in which the desert and its plant life are integral to the fauna of the desert.
Here we learn about Choya cacti, which we had seen previously in Joshua Tree National Park. They also look like teddy bears, and how they become a good home for cactus wrens, as few desert predators will dare to get too close to the spines of these cacti. So it's a nice little home base for them, and no one's going to attack those desert wrens here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you always know it's a desert wren because you will hear them. They are some of the louder birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very loud. Canyon wrens as well, which are like similar, are extremely loud. Yeah. They like to sit by themselves and hold court and scream and sing really loud.
Like you.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So we also learned about nurse trees as we walked and how their nutrients give back to the plant life, including the saguaro cacti who use them as a shelter to grow. Nurse trees like mesquite are an important part of not only sheltering saguaro cacti as they grow, but their seed pods are also in the diet of many of the animals within the park and were an important foodstuff for the indigenous people of these lands for a very long time. And like mesquite, other seed pod plants are members of the legume family, which help the plants of the desert by returning nitrogen to the soil.
Most importantly, we learned a lot of how the desert actually does a lot to provide for the plants and animals through cooperation. There's a big web of cooperation, even just thinking about the nurse trees and what they nourish, not only saguaro, but people and animals, and how those animals then nourish other things within the park. So this is very much so the circle of life here happening.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And find out more about nurse trees in that many cacti of saguaro trail mix mm-hmm. that I mentioned before. When we make our way back to the car, we continue to drive the loop. We could have stopped fairly soon and gotten onto the Cactus Forest Trail, which runs north to south in the center of the roadway, but we decided that we would continue to drive the road until we got closer to the bottom, as there was another small trail there that we wanted to get on before taking this hike. All right, so do we feel like it's worth it to put the Desert Discovery Nature Trail and the Desert Ecology Trail on the Karen Stone scale?
I think it's worth it in that we highly suggested them, and
absolutely.
I think I'm ready to give my response to both of them.
One. There we
right.
go.
Yeah.
Two out of 20 Karen
Stones. Two out of
Stones.
20.
For these two trails, these two short trails today.
Yeah, yeah.
Highly recommend both.
Absolutely.
There's no reason to not do them.
No.
They're great. The little trails, we can't advocate for them enough because they are the ones who are doing typically the interpretive lift for the area.
Yeah.
And they really help give you context for the bigger trails.
Yeah.
So with that, let's end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
Great.
All right, Mike, why don't you get us started today?
All right, great. So since we did a lot of visitor center and interpretive trails and scenic drives, I decided my Jeopardy would be called Visitor Experience, and I am going to be describing a movie that involves some sort of travel or travel-like experience, describing it like one of the main characters who's writing like a Yelp review for the experience,
oh.
and you have to name what the movie is.
This is like a hat, mm-hmm. wearing a fedora.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
Okay, so ready for 100. Even though I myself am not gay, I took my friend's gay couple's group vacation package to Italy. After a heart-wrenching divorce, I sort of needed to get away. While I managed to have some fun on the tour, the real adventure began when I decided to buy a villa, so I guess I kind of live here now. It's going to be a lot of work, but I know that love will fill this house and my heart once more. 5 out of 5 stars.
Especially when the water fountain finally works.
It's true.
What is your favorite film?
Listen.
Diane Lane in Under the Tuscan
God.
Sun.
Diane Lane is like, or Annie Potts is in the Diane Lane zone for me.
Yeah.
As like, whew,
yeah,
ladies,
you love
ladies
them.
Who, beautiful ladies. I do love them. Sorry. Ladies who I love. Who
yes,
are
you do adore
fierce
them.
Actresses. Yeah.
Yeah.
And God, it's such a wonderful film.
It's such a good movie.
I love it when you
good
like
story.
One day you stopped. I was here. We were about to record. You were like, I have something to tell you. And I was like, oh God.
Were we here?
We were here.
Oh, okay.
Like, I watched a movie last night that you really love. And I was like, oh. And you're like, it was wonderful. And I was, because you made fun of me for it for so long.
Well, no, made fun of you. I'd never seen it.
Yeah, you were, but you like would
I did
jab
was,
at me.
Well, it was, honey, all you do is jab at me.
Yeah.
All we do is jab at each other.
It was under the Tuscan sun and it was beautiful.
I had never seen it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, you are such a dark girl.
Uh-huh.
And you have like the murky depths of your sadness, like uh-huh. knows no bounds,
mm-hmm.
but like you get all a flutter when it comes to under the Tuscan sun.
That's...
And I love that about you. It is one of my favorite things. Uh-huh. And I'm like, he's just like a scene with the Diane Lane, like getting water from her wall, like mm-hmm. away from like just becoming like gooey again.
Uh-huh.
That's reality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So all right. You can be dark and twisted, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you love under the Tuscan sun.
It's true. All right. For 200, no expense was spared on this private island that promised us an experience that was well worth our time. While things got off to an amazing start, a hurricane, a cyber attack, and all the attractions escaping their holding pens and trying to kill us really put a sour twist on what was a pretty cool adventure. 2 out of 5 stars.
What is Jurassic Park?
That's correct. For 300, I had a hell of a find myself vacation that took me to so many places, including Italy, India, and Indonesia. I really learned so much about myself on this trip and what I really needed to get my life back together. 4 out of 5 stars.
What is Eat, Pray, Love?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
For 400, I had recently had a tragedy in my life, so my gal pals organizing an adrenaline-fueled trip down into a cave system to Spelunk really felt like it would take my mind off of things. And it did for a while until something started to hunt us. I made it out by the skin of my teeth, but my friends were not so lucky. 0.5 out of 5 stars.
What is The Descent?
That's right.
Oh my God, what a reference. I love it.
And for 500... We arrived by boat and got a private tour of the entire island that this master chef owned and lived on. I mean, the food was good, but when we discovered it was some strange cult about to off themselves and all the other guests, I quickly found myself not having the best time. 1 out of 5 stars.
Oh my God. We saw this movie in the theaters together. What is it called? The Table?
It's not The Table.
Is Table in the
No,
title?
But it is a one, it's the and one word.
Is what is the menu?
That's correct.
That's it.
There
that's
you
it
go.
With Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm-hmm. And Nicholas Holt and Ralph Fiennes.
Is Diane Lane in that movie?
No.
No. No. There's another actress in that movie and I can't remember who it is. Okay.
And that's visitor experience.
Okay, great. Are you ready for my category?
I am.
My category is called Silent G because saguaro has a silent G in its name. And so these are all words that contain a silent G.
Okay.
Or I could call this category Silent G's of Hollywood films.
Okay, great.
For 100, this is the title of your favorite movie. Nay, favorite series of movies based on a series of books that are about vampires in Forks, Washington.
What is Twilight?
Twilight. Yes, correct. Twilight.
I'm going to just pronounce them as hard G's.
Great.
Great.
I did try to think of a game where it was like, okay, it's a word that has a silent G in it, but we're adding another G to it that isn't silent.
That's like a hat wearing a hat wearing
it
a fedora.
Is. So it would have been like twig light.
Mm-hmm. Twig light. Got
mm-hmm.
it.
But that, yeah, it is intentionally a hat wearing a hat. Mm-hmm. Okay. For 200, in the original Devil Wears Prada, Nigel uses this vocab word in his speech to Andy about how she is screwing it up. He says, in this place where people die to work, you merely this to work.
What's Degden? What's Dane?
Correct, correct.
Mm-hmm.
For 300.
Like Hamlet.
In the first Wives Club, Brenda, Annie, and Elise sneak into Morty and Shelley's apartment to look for files to strengthen their case. But when Morty and Shelley return early, they sneak out onto the fire escape, out to a suspended scaffold for fear of being this silent G word. They don't want to get this.
Caught?
There you go. There you go.
Caught.
for 400. This film, a medieval story told with contemporary music of the time when it was released, features the silent G word and arguably is the film that gave us Heath Ledger.
Well, didn't 10 Things I Hate About You give us Heath Ledger?
Yeah, but these were around the same time.
Okay. What is A Knight's Tale?
Correct. I said arguably.
Yeah. I never saw that.
A Knight's Tale?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, you know, I haven't seen it in a while, so I don't know how it holds up, but I enjoyed it at the time.
Right.
And for 500. In The Devil Wears Prada 2, Andy has traveled the world chasing stories and has acquired quite the wardrobe through vintage stores and these types of shops, where a seller can bring an item to the shop and they will sell it on their behalf and split the profit.
What's consignment?
That is correct.
Great.
And that is Silent G's of Hollywood Films.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.